take six.
Hi guys, this is Michelle with Perfectly Imperfect, and I am so very excited to do this particular podcast tonight because it is a podcast that is very near and dear to me because it involves my niece and her dad. And the reason I wanted to do this podcast is because last night I was privileged and honored enough to be a part of the witnessing of these two reuniting after 18 years. 18 years of not seeing each other. So I am going to let Bailey kind of start first because she's going to give us a little insight to the reconnection of y'all. Kind of started on Facebook.
It did. My dad posted a message just kind of wanting if anybody could get a hold of me to get a hold of me and know that my dad wanted to talk to me.
And how old were you?
It was right after my 18th birthday, right before Christmas because I'm a December baby. Thanks for having sex on Valentine's Day, Dad.
It's a podcast. You can say whatever you want to say, but
it was right after that, and my Facebook went nuts. People that I'd grown up with, that I'd known for a very long time, or they knew my parents were reaching out to me saying, "Hey, your dad wants to talk to you. Message him back." And I said, "Okay." The emotions that were still attached to my mom and my dad's divorce was very raw to my mother, and she wasn't for it. In fact, my mom got on my Facebook after I went to bed, and she sent my dad and everybody else who messaged me some very hateful things that weren't from my perception, and my dad can agree with me. If you read the message or you got the message, you knew it was my mom's voice. You knew it was my mom's words. It was very just...
So I think the most important thing is here is that, and Scott, this is where I'll let you jump in, is that there was this 18-year distance between y'all because you had a nasty divorce. And...
We had a very nasty divorce.
And because of your divorce, lost contact with your children. And
yes.
I guess I'll let you just pick up there. Not so much of the whys and whens and hows, but bottom line is, Bailey was adopted by her stepdad, and it really was what until her 18th birthday until legally
right.
You could have contact.
They don't cry.
It's just hard for me.
That's why we're doing this right here.
The last time I saw Bailey before yesterday, was December 9th, 2001. Her and her little sister, Aubrey. Bailey was 7. Aubrey was 4. And through mine and her mother's divorce and her stepdad adopting her, without going into a lot of details, I'll just say I was forced to have to give up my rights. There's a whole long story, and this thing doesn't have, your phone doesn't have enough battery for me to tell it, but you know, it is what it is, and you know, so I was not allowed to have any contact with Bailey or Aubrey until they were 18 years old. That was the law, or I would go to jail. If her mother or, you know, somebody wanted to pursue that, and I was pretty sure they would. So whenever Bailey turned 18 years old, I could finally contact her, and I didn't know how to other than on Facebook, and I wrote a novel about wanting to get in contact with her and if anybody could help me. Like Bailey said, a lot of people did. Her mother did get on Messenger and send me a really nasty message, and I knew it was Becky that did it. I probably might not say her name, but I really don't care. There was nothing bad that I said in it. It was just that I wanted to contact Bailey and I wanted to see her, and it'd been long enough, and And I got the reply, and I knew it wasn't fake. That was, it was just somebody else pretending to be Fady, and it was somebody else's words. I knew exactly who it was. So I let it go. And I didn't hear from Bailey at all.
Until I was
20. And I'm sure it was, I had, you know, not on, not Bailey's doing, you know, I'm saying there were other influences that were keeping her from doing it. But I was, it was totally legal. I didn't have to worry about, you know, going to jail or getting any kind of trouble. And I didn't talk to Bailey until about 3 years ago. She contacted me on Facebook and we talked a little bit, and I think certain people found out about it and put a stop to that.
But 3 years ago, you were how old?
I was 21. Just turned 21. Dad, I then made the choice with talking to my stepdad and then talking to my mom that I was going to do what I wanted at that point. Because growing up, I had always been behind my dad, or not very far behind my dad. And there's pictures, countless pictures. And it was my choice. I wanted to hear both sides of the story and just break down the truth. And inevitably, not pointing fingers at my mom, or you're gonna do what you're gonna do to protect your kids. But the truth came out of my dad more than it came out of my mom. And when I'd ask my dad questions from the past, and he'd answer them. He had nothing to hide at that point, and I was 21, and the first time I called him, he was on Facebook. I was sitting in my living room, and I was, I called him, and I said, "Dad," and he kind of, his voice kind of cracked, and he was trying not to cry.
And, like he's doing now on video.
Yeah, "Dad," and I said, "Hi, Dad," and he froze for a second. I don't think he knew exactly what to say, but the conversation lasted for about an hour, and it was just questions of past, present, future, what I was doing, what he was doing, and we've stayed in contact ever since. Then I had, fast forward to when I was 23, I was pregnant with my first child, and I called my dad. Actually, my sister called my dad and told my dad that I was pregnant, and my dad called me, and he asked me if I was, and I said yes, and he cried again, because I'm his firstborn with his first grandchild, but I also got my ass chewed out for not telling my mother, but that's a story in itself.
I think the important thing on here is that, number one, Facebook can be a powerful tool, obviously. And for you, Scott, without Facebook, how would you have gotten in touch with her? That's pretty amazing.
I don't know, because I knew that there was no sense in me trying to contact her mother or anybody like that. She wasn't going to let me have contact with Bailey or Aubrey, either one. And you know, that's her choice, and that's fine. But so I that's why I got on Facebook, because I, you know, the way you can set your stuff up, it'll come up on somebody's newsfeed, even if they're not friends with me. But there was enough people that were still mutual friends or acquaintances, what are you going to say, with me and Bailey's mother. And so I sat down one day, it took me about 30 minutes to word it right and not, I didn't want to be hateful. I didn't want to be spiteful. You know, I couldn't change what had happened. I just wanted to talk to Bailey, and she could make up, you know, her own mind. I just, my mother passed away 7 years ago, and
okay, you know, now you're gonna
really,
make us cry.
It really bothered me, but it really affected me in a way that I really wanted my kids to know who I am. And even though I hadn't heard Bailey and Aubrey. And you know, if I didn't have anything to hide, like Bailey said, I wasn't going to lie to her. I wasn't the perfect dad at the time. I was really not a very good person. I had no business being a husband. I had no business being a dad. Even though I was a grown man, I still acted like I was like 12 years old. I fought that for 48 years now, but I'm getting better. But, you know, I just wanted them to know who I was and tell them, because they had only been told one side of the story. And not that everything that was said about me to them was lies, but a lot of it
was embellished, I'm sure. Yeah.
And I just wanted them to know, and I wanted Bailey to know who I was, what I was about, what I know happened, what I know how it happened, and that I was sorry, and that I missed her.
I was the last person, like, I'm the oldest of my dad's four kids, and out of the four of us, I'm the last one that got to see him face to face. My sister Aubrey got to see him 2 years ago on Father's Day,
and your sister Tyler,
he's always been around Tyler and Kylie, and those are my two youngest.
Then there's Kylie,
and then Kylie's my youngest sister. Yeah. But I was the last person to judge my dad, and when I started talking to him through whatever we were doing, whether it was Facebook, text message, a phone call here or there, I didn't judge my dad. That was off the table at that point, simply because I grew up around my dad. I grew up around my dad up until I was old enough to make decisions, yes or no, right or wrong. And my dad, there was no judgment. Was he in the right state of mind to take care of the four of us? No. But he was still my dad. Regardless of my stepdad adopting me, he's always been my dad. And who was it for me to judge my dad if my mom was equally as guilty? It takes two to fail a relationship. It takes two to have kids. So,
and we worked overtime and messing it up. I'll just let you know.
Yeah, really. but it was one of those things where I couldn't judge my dad, and I didn't want to.
I think that there's only one person that should judge anything that we do, and it's none of us humans, that's for sure. I think the important thing for me, and Scott, I want to say this, is because I think in today's world, sadly, and I'm speaking from own history, is the dad and the men, you get the bad rap, you know, and you
sometimes
you always, it's always the deadbeat dad, or the dad wasn't there, or, you know, the dad didn't pay child support, or the dad didn't try. And so I think for me,
I'll just tell you right now, and I'm not, you know, not to go into a lot of detail, but I can tell you it's a long story. It's a really messed up story. It's really a sad story, but I don't want to make everybody depressed that's listening to this, but, you know, I was forced to have to give my rights up to Bailey and Aubrey. It wasn't that I walked away from them. It wasn't that I didn't want them in my life. It wasn't that I didn't love them and want to spend every day with them. It was something that I had to make a decision of, just because of a lot of things that were going on behind that were, how do I say, there was a lot of hidden stuff, a lot of secrets, a lot of conniving people that were really shady, and they were out to make this happen. It was planned by two people. I'm not going to say any names, but it was planned for me to have to give up my rights to Bailey and Aubrey. And it was done in a way that there was nothing I could do to stop it. People want to say that I didn't pay my child support. I paid my child support every month. I'm not one of those dads. I can't stand dads who, and I know a few of them, who get a divorce and all of a sudden, you know, they didn't have a problem with making the kids love the kids as long as they're at home. Mom and dad get a divorce and all of a sudden, you know, so you got a good job and you make good money and but you don't think whenever you get a divorce that you should have to continue paying for them, you know. So, you know, the court says you're going to pay $1,500 a month, let's say, for two kids that I used to pay. Mine, on average, was $1,000 a month for Bailey and Aubrey. And I paid it every month. I wasn't one of those guys or parents, and I'm sure it's men and women, but mainly the men get this end of it. But that's who I know, just a few of them. You know, it's like, you know, $1,500, that's ridiculous. You know, why am I having to give her that money whenever she's going to go buy herself something, the mom, or she's going to go buy her new boyfriend something or whatever, you know, something stupid. And, you know, the people that get hurt the most are the kids. Us being adults, yeah, it hurt me. You know, for 18 years, it was horrible. I mean, I can't imagine somebody willingly giving their children away just because, you know, there are certain circumstances that some things have to happen. But in my case, it was, you know, my kids, these two girls were taken away from me, not by my choice. I was forced to do it, or I was going to go to jail. What happened was I was, the child support that I paid was not paid through the state. It was paid to Bailey and Aubrey's mother directly. And a plan was devised to make sure that that child support never got paid to her mother by two people. And I never knew anything about it. And after almost 3 or 4 years, I think it was about 4 years, I go to court over this. I'm being sued for
Child support.
Oh, what do they call it whenever you go to court and you don't do what you're supposed to do? Whatever that's called, I can't think of it right now. Anyway, and my attorney comes out and has this big sheet of notebook or a computer paper, rolls it out, and says, "I want you to go to the end there and tell me what that number says." I'll never forget it. It was $38,627.17. I said, "What's that?" He said, "That's the amount of money you owe your ex-wife for child support." I said, "You're crazy. I pay my child support." But I've never been one. I can't stand it. You know, they're my kids. And just because me and their mother's divorced doesn't mean that it's not my responsibility to continue to pay child support and do what I have to do. You know, no, nobody's happy with having to pay it, you know, a large amount. A large amount of money, but you know what? You didn't mind paying it whenever you were at home. So why should things change? So it didn't bother me. But like I said, so then $38,627.17, and I told him I paid it. He says, "Can you prove it?" I said, "Well, I'd have to go home and get all my bank records and all this stuff," not knowing what was really going on. And he said, "Well, you have about 15 minutes to prove it today, or this judge will throw you in jail for contempt of court." And what it was is that I had to make a decision right then to either give up my rights to Bailey and Aubrey, sign them away to Becky and TJ, and pay them $10,000, or go to jail that day, right then, for 6 months in the county jail, Lincoln County Jail. I would not go to prison or nothing like that, but every 6 months, they would bring me out of the jail and take me to the courthouse, and I'd go in front of the judge, and he would find, you know, if how much had been paid on it, how much has been paid off, whatever. And if it hadn't been paid off in full, I would go right back to jail for another 6 months, or until it was paid off in full. Now, almost $40,000, that you're looking at, you know, almost 4 years of child support.
Gosh, I can't even imagine being
at that time. So I was forced to make that decision. And the only reason I made that decision that I did was because I knew that her TJ wanted to adopt the girls. And as far as I knew at that time, he was a good guy. I didn't know him, but I, you know, just from his profession, and well, I assumed he was a good guy, and he wanted to adopt him. And I was married at the time, and had just had a daughter with my wife at that time, and she was just right at a year old. So I was forced to make a decision, and the only way I could do it was the fact that I didn't want to go to jail, of course. But Bailey and Aubrey would be taken care of. This man wanted to adopt them, and if I did go to jail, there's no telling how long. I might still be in there. Who knows? But I always hoped that, you know, that I would get back in touch with them, contact with them, and that, but they would be okay. But I also had a little baby girl at the house that if I couldn't be with Bailey and Aubrey, I wanted to be able to raise my daughter at home.
Sure. Well, and I guess
I know that might sound cold, but it's a decision that I had to make. There was really no other besides going to jail. So that's what I did. And of course, that ended in divorce also, that marriage. So, yeah, maybe I should have went to jail, but, you know, a lot of people don't believe the story whenever I tell them. I have no reason to lie. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to lie to Bailey. I'm not going to lie to Aubrey or Kylie or Tyler, my daughters. And, you know, I've never been, none of us are perfect. I'm not been the greatest person. I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. I've had a lot of things happen. And not a lot of them are my fault. But, you know, whenever you were saying none of us are ones to judge, well, you're right, you know, and there's only one that's going to judge us, and that's God. And I'm going to tell you right now, for 18, I was away from Bailey and Aubrey, and you know, I used to pray all the time, and just pray that God would bring them back, and that even if they didn't want to be around me, that they at least knew who I was, and they knew that I loved them, and I missed them, and I'm sorry for what happened. But whenever I talked to Bailey for the first time, you know, Bailey asked me, I mean, it was like she was the FBI. I said, you know, you can ask me anything you want. If you question it, or you want to know, or if you doubt, whatever it is, ask me, and I'll tell you the truth. I'm not going to lie to you. You know, you're a grown woman now, and you deserve to know the truth as far as I know it. And I can't speak for her mother or anybody else. I can just tell you what I know. But, you know, I just hope you know that I'm not ever going to tell you anything that's a lie that would hurt you, or that would upset you, or, you know, would come back as a bad thing, I guess is the best way I can describe it. But, you know, Bailey's a really smart girl, and you know, I know there's been a lot of things said about me by her mother and by other people.
But in the end, Scott, though, don't you think that that's really, I mean, to me, that's Bailey's decision to make.
It was.
I mean,
right, it is. And that's what made me mad. And you know, whenever I finally got in contact with her, and then her mother or whoever shut it down, you know, she was old enough to make that decision. And by law, there was nothing keeping us from, that
talking
could keep
or
us
seeing each other.
From being in contact with each other. Yeah. You know, even though she lived in Texas at the time and I was in Oklahoma, and, you know, I wasn't going to go down there and make a big scene. I wasn't going to go down there and cause any problems for Bailey. And I knew her having contact with me was causing problems at home for her. And so I just let it go for a while. And if she wanted to contact me, she would. And she did. And it was, like, really cool because I hadn't heard, you know, I hadn't heard Bailey's voice at that time, 15 years. And, you know, like she said, she's my oldest child.
I'm his oldest and his favorite. He won't say it, but I am his favorite.
yeah, I cried, but, you know, I've missed Bailey and I've missed Aubrey. And it's just horrible. It's almost like losing a child, you know, in the sense that they're, you know, if the child died, I mean, they took my kids away from me. And I always used to tell everybody, I said, you know, people who like dads or parents that they get divorced and they don't have anything to do with their children, or they don't do what they need to do or should do just as a parent. And I said, you know, just imagine that your ex, whichever one it is, has your kids, and they move across the street from you, and every day you can look out your door, your window, and you can see your kids in the fenced in yard. They're playing, having a good time, doing their thing. And you can sit inside that house and you can watch them and you can look at them, but you can't go talk to them. You can't hug them. You can't kiss them. You can't tell them you love them. You can't send them a birthday card, a Christmas card. You don't get to spend any special moments in their life with them for 18 years or for 15, however long it was for all of them. You know, and if a person actually had that happen to them, it changed a whole lot of attitudes, because I promise you, it's the worst feeling. I've never, you know, besides my mother dying, I've never hurt and been just, it's just, you can feel it in your bones. It's just, it's that deep, and it never goes away. You learn to live with it, because that's all you can do. Like I said, I prayed all the time, and all I prayed every day was, you know, that God would bring him back. And then I'd get the opportunity to see them and not get the...
Well, I guess that's a question I want to lead up to. So, you know, I'm a big believer in the power of prayer. And there's somebody that's in control of our lives more than we are. Yesterday, you and Bailey got the opportunity to see each other for the first time in 18 years. What was it like? And then I'll ask her the same question. What was it like driving around the corner knowing that you have prayed all of these years and that you're actually like 5 minutes away from seeing?
I messaged you to let you know that I'm, yeah.
I mean, how did you not, like, I would have,
you know, I still haven't found the words to describe how I felt. I was, you know, I thought I was really going to cry, and I was all ready to do it, be a big ball bag. And then, but whenever I saw her and she come running up to me and I hugged her,
it was like things had never changed, because I used to run at my dad and hug him.
No, baby, you.
And so.
It's not like that at all.
It was different, because I expected to cry too.
being your father, being your daddy, and not getting to do that
for a very long time, obviously.
Yeah. But for me, it was like, I opened that door. I opened the front.
Oh. All I wanted to do, I didn't want to let her go. I remember the first thing I told her was how beautiful she is, and I love her, and I missed her, and I kissed her on the forehead, and
So Bailey, as he's speechless and crying, I know how you were, but I want to know your feelings of those 5 minutes that you knew that he literally.
I started to get really nervous. Like quite literally. But for me, it was one of those things. I wanted to cry. I wanted to bawl my eyes out. But just seeing my dad again, I felt like it was just it had come full circle. I got to see my dad. I got to hug my dad, and I expected to bawl my eyes out. But it wasn't like tears of like sad and sorrow. It was like, for once, I got to make the choice to see my dad. And he'd been up for 48 hours prior to that. And so,
yeah, let's back up. Only because he drove all the way from Oregon.
He drove all the way from Oregon to move back home to Oklahoma. And to know that if I ever need my dad, I can pick up the phone and my dad's not very far from me, 45 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever. It was that moment of just, I had just come to, it was like a huge weight lifted off my shoulders. It's been 18 years since I've seen my dad. You can talk to somebody through the phone all day long, but to physically just have my dad is a different feeling. It was more of a finally, like, I had achieved, something that I've wanted for the last 18 years. And even prior to that, when I was 18, I wanted my dad, and it caused a rift between my mom and my stepdad and I, because they couldn't understand why I wanted to see my dad. All the things that have been said, why do you want to see your dad? I will never forget my stepdad asking me that. Why do you want to see your dad? Why? And ultimately, it was my choice. I wanted to. It wasn't what they wanted, but I needed it for myself. I needed to know the past, the present, who my dad was.
He's a part. He's a part of you. And I think for me, I know, I mean, 4 years ago, I buried my dad. The year before that, I buried my grandfather, who was, I was very close to. And Scott, I have said this on my podcast, and I've said this many times, one of the reasons, I've also buried a child. And so that pain that you have felt, I can tell you, I know what that pain feels like. And I think that that sadly is a bond that you and I share that I wish we didn't. We do. And I know that even my dad, you know, was a horse trainer, and I always said I never could compete against the four-legged women in his life, because that was his life. I mean, literally, and he was very successful at it. It was still my dad, and I was there every day, you know, the last 30 days of his life, and sadly, I, you know, had the task of taking on the funeral and still dealing with things that have to do with my dad. So, to me, for both of y'all to have this opportunity, is just something that, not a lot of people get, number one. So number two, I hope that you both, take full advantage of what you now have. I totally believe that you will. You can't get back the past, and you can't get back those years. And I don't even think
that's what me and you were talking about. I was telling you yesterday was that, you know, you were asking me kind of, you know, how I felt about this and the past and all that. And I said, you know, then you were saying something about, you know, we got a lot of time to make up for. We can't make up that time. It's
no.
And it's sad. But not that we're not going to try to do some things to, you know, I'm going to take her fishing. But, you know,
okay. Yeah.
I never got to do that. I took her turkey hunting with me one time.
I never went again.
She couldn't sit still.
The poor turkey.
I wasn't going to take her again.
But now you get a chance to do the new things, you know?
And here's another thing. I'm my dad's oldest, but I'm also the one that made...
There's no... I can't... I'm sure you are making all kinds of...
Okay.
But what I'm saying is that, you know, that time is gone, sadly it is, and we can't get it back. But from now on, we got a lot of time to be together. And,
sure. And you get to create this life as adults now.
And that's the thing, like...
And so I never gave up hope. And like you were saying earlier, we were talking about, you know, and you were saying, you know, don't ever give up hope. I mean, don't ever stop praying. Because like you said, the power of prayer, I believe in the power of prayer so much, 110%. Because not only has it done this for me and baby, but a lot of other things in my life, I've seen it. I've lived.
He's kind of cut now.
But I believe, and I know that if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be back in Oklahoma. I'd probably be dead. Because of my past, but also I wouldn't have my daughter back in my life at all. My daughter. You know, it's taken a long time, but you know, not that I want to relive it, but if having to go through what I've been through and the baby, just to get what happened yesterday, I can't put into words. I don't know the words. Maybe I'm just stupid. I don't know, but.
No, I don't think there are words. I don't think there are words.
Something that I can't, I don't know. I mean, it was just like the day she was born. I watched her be born, and it was like the coolest thing I've ever witnessed in my life. besides the conception. Don't tell nobody I said that.
It's not. You know,
that's another podcast.
Just the fact that that's, you know, whenever she come out that door.
And on a brighter note, like,
he couldn't get to me fast enough.
Right.
I know, she almost knocked you down. I saw it.
I did. I almost thought I got down.
I got her off the ground.
You have, we both fell. But then again, like, I have kids. I have two kids. And I want them to have my dad around. You know, I didn't get to have my dad around growing up. And anybody, my friends who are really close to me, they can tell you I've always wanted my dad to be a part of their lives. And so does my family. And I'm very lucky to still have my dad, and with his past. And him holding my son, his grandson, for the first time yesterday was something I never thought would ever happen. And it means a lot to me. I even have it
videoed.
And
I'm gonna tell you right now, I love you, Beth, baby, but that little boy, oh my God.
I've been replaced.
Even if he'd been around, I wasn't gonna spoil you like I'm gonna spoil him. I'm just gonna tell you that right now.
And then he's got a granddaughter, and he's got all girls, and now he's got a boy, which is kind of funny. Didn't think that would ever happen. But
I think the most important thing is that, you know, things happen in our lives, and there's a lot of things that we are a product of our decisions, and a lot of things that are out of our control, and a lot of things we don't understand, and a lot of questions of why me or whatever. I guess the most important thing for me in wanting to talk to both of y'all was, is for anybody that we can touch, anybody that is listening to this, that is possibly going through a same situation, regardless if it's a mom or a dad or a brother or a sister or who it is, don't quit. Don't give up. Don't stop. You know, y'all are lucky enough, 25 and 48, you know, is still young. And I'm saying that because I'm 48, so I'm used to that because you and I are the same age. But I think the whole thing behind this is, yeah, the circumstances sucked. And there was a lot of lost time and a lot of hurt, a lot of betrayal, a lot of unnecessary...
A lot of shadiness.
A lot of unnecessary pain on so many levels. Not just for you and Bailey, but for Bailey and her sisters.
People,
and
know,
and
our families. You
yeah.
Know, even, you know, Janice, Becky's mom's adopted mother.
Yeah.
You know, you know...
Your mom.
And Becky's brother was hurt over this deal. And he still, I talk to him quite a bit, you know, not as much as I used to, but, you know, he misses those girls. And, you know, he tells me all the time how much he's missed them, and he loves them, and he wants to see them, and it just wasn't happening, and it's not his fault either.
And that's the point. It affects, there's more than just the two people, you know, the parents,
well, like
the mom and dad.
Divorce or somebody, you know, it's not just those two people that are affected. Everybody around you is affected. In some way, and you know, divorce is never good. We know I hate divorce. I'm a pro at it, but I don't like it. But you know,
maybe you should not. Maybe you should just
stay single.
For a while.
Well, that's my plan from now on. Yeah, I'll just raise pigs.
Make more friends. Like what we I joke around with him. I'm always saying pigs are better than people, and he agrees because pigs don't talk back. Pigs don't do things out of spite.
They love me.
They love you.
It's not a pig whisperer.
It's like kids. All you got to do is feed them.
Yeah.
Well, and I think it's important. I think for me, the most important thing is letting. I've seen Bailey at her worst, and I've seen her at her best, which is now. I started messaging you and talking to you a couple of years ago, and you didn't even know who I was, but I was damn sure going to make sure you knew who I was. And you know, this child has come into my life.
Well, it all really started with your mother contacting me about 5 or 6 years ago.
Right.
7 years ago.
Right.
It was a long time ago. Yeah.
It was. And so we have this,
this
our family story is quite
our family story is very quite interesting, which is that will be another podcast. But for this one, I think it was just about 18 years is a long time.
That's from birth to legal age in the United States. And people don't realize, like, there were nights that I would just cry because my mom would tell me that my dad didn't love me, but I never heard it from my dad, so I knew it wasn't true. And just seeing my dad yesterday it put a lot of my mind at ease. And that just goes back from when I was a kid. And seeing my dad and being able to touch my dad and being able to hold my dad. And I'm trying not to cry because people ask me, they're like, your dad's been out of your life for so long, and how do you trust him the way you do? And my dad is my dad. I'm going to trust him because he's my dad. He's going to give it to me real raw with my full name attached to it. And that's my dad. You know, you don't have to trust everybody in your life. And I'm fortunate enough to be able to trust only three people in my life, which is my aunt, my dad, and my grandmother. And do I always agree with what they say? No.
You always agree with what your aunt says, though.
But 9 times out of 10, my aunt's right. And then my dad reiterates, like, when we're talking about things on personal levels, you know, Bailey, remember what I went through. Remember what you went through. You can relate to this. Don't be this. Don't do this. And I love my dad, and I hope to have my dad for a very long time. And
I don't think after yesterday. I don't think after yesterday either one of y'all are going anywhere at this point in each other's lives, and I think that's
right.
That is my point.
I've waited for so long for this, and it was almost like it wasn't real. Right. I don't know that it wasn't real. It was just like
dreams really finally came true. Like it became a reality.
Yeah, it was, and I still haven't. I mean, it's something, but I don't know how to describe how I felt other than just. It was amazing, and it was like
still my dad.
By the day she was born, I mean, that's what it's kind of like. You know, I'm getting to see her for the first time in almost
20 years.
You know, 20 years, and
right.
You know, she's got her own kids, and she was just a little girl last time I seen her. And
well, and so I think that's the important thing. Really, it's how y'all amazing. Take it from here is what's going to be important, but. I'm going to ask both of you this question, and Bailey, I'll let you answer first. If, as the child, if there's one thing, if you can talk to one person on this podcast, one person can hear you, and they're going through exactly what you went through as a child, or you're going through, maybe they're 8, maybe they're 10, maybe they're 12, maybe they're 25, I don't know. What's the one thing that you would say to the child?
I would say, you know, listen, give both parents a choice, hear both sides of the story, and then make for your own. For me, it was growing up hearing the bashing of my dad from not just my mother, but from everyone around me who knew my mother. It was very hard, it was very easy for them to bash my dad. And then when I called my dad that day and I said, I've got a laundry list of questions, we're going to start now, and I heard the truth, and he wasn't afraid to tell me, ask these people, ask so-and-so, ask your grandfather, ask your uncle, ask, you know, ask the people around you other than your mother. And just hear both sides of the story and make that choice for yourself. For me, it was, I didn't just want my dad. It's not that I just need my dad, but my dad needs me just as much. My dad has a very dark past, and I'm very lucky to still have my dad, and he's fought those demons, blood, sweat, and tears for many years, and I've seen him at his weakest, and I've seen him at his strongest, and it's become a revolving door. If you have anybody in your life that's struggling with sobriety, it is what it is. It's a disease. It becomes a disease. It starts out as a gamble with life and death, and then it becomes a disease, and then it takes everything from you. But I knew my dad as my dad, as my hero, as the one who would literally call pigs and they would come running at my dad.
And let's clarify when you mean call pigs. Say what he does for a living.
My dad breeds pigs. My dad breeds pigs. And so, my dad was...
But you never gave up
I didn't. And I had memories with my dad of going turkey hunting, which I'm never allowed to do again because, well, that's just a funny story. But I had memories of my dad and my dad literally making me eat rattlesnake, and it was really good, actually. If you ever eat rattlesnake, it's really good. But there was those things that, the things that my mom was saying just didn't add up. So I made the decision at 21, after bypassing 18, to talk to my dad and to talk to my grandparents. And even though my grandmother's gone and she's not here with us now, I wish I could sit at a round table and just talk to her and say, hey, Amy, what went wrong? I'm glad that I made the decision to reconnect with my dad, and it's been a great ride.
So all the late night crying and tears,
it was worth it. The questions of what if and the questions of why me, why did this happen to me, were answered. And my great grandmother, I'm still fortunate enough to still have one of my great grandmothers. She's 95. And she had pictures of my dad and I. My mom destroyed a lot of those pictures of my dad and I. And that was awesome to know that my great-grandmother still held on to those memories, even though my parents were divorced and she hadn't seen me in years. But it came full circle. It can happen for the good and for the bad, but it's ultimately your decision.
And don't give up.
And don't give up. And if that person, you get to talk to them and they're not in the right state of mind, or they don't want you, just know that you know who they are, and maybe time will tell. I was fortunate enough that my dad's Facebook Messenger rang, and it rang, and it rang, and my heart started racing, and then I hear hello at the end of it, and it was my dad, and I said hi, Dad, and
the rest is history.
Yeah, it was pretty much, I remember what I was wearing. I remember it was cold outside, and my mom and my stepdad were gone. And I just sat in the living room and I was like, you know what, this is my choice and I'm going to do it. And I'm pretty defiant when it comes to my mother. And so I had questions and I talked to my dad every day that week and leading up to Christmas, and he told me Merry Christmas. And then I told my dad I was pregnant with my daughter. Then I told my dad I was pregnant with my son. And I didn't tell him I was pregnant with my son. I didn't tell him I was in labor. But it was those things that...
Sorry, your little sister called for me then.
Yeah, my sister did, and you know, it's kind of funny. Like, do it if you're given. Now, if there's legal things blocking that, don't break the law, because you can put yourself in a lot of trouble and that other person in trouble. But don't hold out. Don't give up. It's worth it at the end of it. It may not fall in your favor. It may fall in your favor, but the choice is ultimately yours once you make that choice. And that goes for adoption. That goes for divorced parents. You know, it goes for anybody. You lose a parent, you're put up for adoption, you find out the story and piece it together in the right state of mind, and don't hold on if it doesn't work out, but just know that there are more than one side to the story. And it's ultimately your choice.
So Scott, I'm going to ask you kind of the same question, is if as the parent, as the dad, because I feel like dads do get a bad rap in the world, and sometimes. But so let's take the dad part out of it and just put the parent into place. If there is a parent that is going through what you're going through or what you went through, what is the one piece of advice, or what is maybe something that you would say to them if they were in your shoes?
I would tell them not that they would go down the road I went, because it's not the right one. But, you know, I can't speak for everybody. The worst thing that a parent can do is keep their child, unless there's something some kind of laws that they, that one person is broke, or you know, I don't really think one parent would want their child around a pedophile or a murderer or something like that. That's a totally different deal. But, you know, to keep a child away from their parent only because you can, and that's really, that is so wrong, because you don't want it done to you, I promise you. like I said, it was just like losing a child, and I've never actually lost a child, and I'm so, you know, I can't imagine the situation, your situation. I could not imagine that. But yeah, it was, you know, that's how I kind of compared it, was, you know, for 18 years.
Well, you did. You lost, you know, child, children.
I was completely, totally shut out of baby and our lives, and I could have no contact with them at all. And that was wrong. I didn't do anything. So whenever Bailey talks about my addiction issues and stuff like that, so whenever me and her mother divorced, Bailey was born, and then the whole nine yards, that was not a part of my life then, at all.
That had nothing to do with you.
No, it had nothing to do with our divorce or anything like that. No.
Right.
That started several years later. So I have done a lot. I've made a lot of mistakes, but I never did anything for me to not be able to see my kids, and for what happened to happen. And I'm not going to sit here and make it sound like I want people to feel sorry for me. That's not what I'm saying. But if you've been through it, if you ever, I don't wish it. It's just like my addiction. I don't wish this on my worst enemy. Because the only, you know, the parent loses, the one parent does, but the kids do, and they have the right to know who their family. I don't care if two parents hate each other. That's not the point. Okay? You have a child, and that child is just as much a part of the father or the mother as vice versa. So who are you? I love it, and I hate it, and it's ridiculous, and I just, if I wasn't such a nice guy, just punch me in the throat. Whenever they start saying, that's my child, that's my child, that's my child. Well, right, it is half yours. But the other half, whichever, however you want to split it up, belongs to the other parent. They're just as much a part of that child as you are. And I know a lot of states are pro-woman, pro-mother, and I, you know, that's just the way it is. There are plenty of men out there that are just as good dads as women or mothers. And there's a lot of mothers who are some of the dads, but the child still has the right to know, and it has nothing. People bring their own, like with me and Bailey's mother, she brought her own. I don't know if it's hatred. I would tend to lean that way, but you know, she was upset.
It was her personal vendetta.
You know, but it was my fault that we got divorced. And I take full responsibility for that, and I always have. But it didn't mean that I didn't love Bailey and Aubrey, and I made a huge mistake with what I did, and there's another long story to that, but, you know, me and her mother never had a really good relationship. It was really crazy all the time. From the moment we met, we dated for 7 years. Before we got married, and it was never really a good relationship, a healthy relationship. It was kind of crazy all the time. Yeah, it was really crazy all the time. And we should have never got married. And we got married for the right reason, because Becky was pregnant. And we tried to do the right thing. And it ended up making things even worse. But I guess what I'm saying, don't keep your kid away from their other parent. That's the worst thing you can do. And it's so selfish. It's so wrong. And you have no idea. It's not only, you know, you're doing it to hurt the other parent. And yeah, it does. Sure it does. But you're hurting that child. They have every right to know who the other parent is and know what's going, what they're, you know, to have a life with them. And then as they get older and they can make the decision whether they want to be a part of that parent's life again anymore, that's their decision. They don't have to. There's a legal age that they can change that. But just because you're mad at the other parent for whatever reason, I understand people get hurt and you know, people cheat, people, you know, commit crimes, whatever it may be, doesn't mean that that person is always going to be that way. It doesn't mean that they don't love their child. I think it's very selfish, and I've been in that position. I was a very selfish person whenever me and her mother got divorced. But it didn't. I always loved Bailey. Bailey's my first child. She's the reason I'm a dad. And
still the reason you're dad today, too.
It's just, you know, unless one of the parents is just an awful, evil spawn of Satan, you know, there's no reason to keep that child away. If a, you know, if you know, pay your child support, do what you're supposed to do, and don't do it because the law says you have to do it. You should do it because you want to, and that's what I did. And like I said, it's a long story as to why the child support issue came up whenever I signed, had to sign my rights away. And if anybody wants to call and ask me any more, happy the phone's going to come up before I'm done.
Yeah.
But, you know,
I think, Scott, I think the most important...
life, other than the fact that one parent was mad and hurt and wanted to pay me back.
Well, and I think that's, you know, the most important thing is that we...
We don't need that.
Yeah, it's not... We have to take our self feelings out of the situation when we have children and
well, I don't have a problem at all with not liking any of my ex-wives.
I'm sure.
I'm
sure.
Just because I don't get along with their mother doesn't mean that I don't want to see my kids and I don't want to be a part of their life and that I don't have a right to be a part of my kids' life. And whenever you get mad at me and you want to hurt me, so you go to any depth you have to in order to hurt me and to take my kids away from me only because you can and you know it's going to hurt the other parent.
I totally agree and I think the most important thing is that and I know that we could probably talk for 3 hours, but I have an hour on our podcast. And so, for me, based on what I witnessed yesterday and seeing y'all two reunite, I thought there would be nothing better than to talk about the main things of don't give up, keep praying, don't lose hope, don't lose faith.
A lot of the stuff that we've been talking about is pretty depressing, but, you know, everything bad happens for a good reason. Something good is going to come from it. It might not happen when you want it, like this. It didn't happen as fast as I wanted to. But, you know, I got to hug my daughter, kiss my daughter, and tell her I loved her yesterday, and it was so awesome.
Yeah, no, and you didn't give up, and I think that's the most important thing is that you did not give up, and you kept pushing through the hurt and the pain, and Bailey, for you, you didn't give up, and I think ultimately I want, and that's what this podcast is about, is everybody has a different situation, and we get it, but you keep the strength. You keep praying, don't give up. And this can be any relationship. It doesn't have to be parent, child. It could be mother, daughter, husband, wife, whatever the case is life is too short and it's too evil and too mean. And we just need to know that we have our families that we love. And for y'all, I expect to have lots of wonderful future memories.
Yes, it's gonna be good.
It's gonna be good.
It's worth it.
It's worth it. And so I love both of y'all. I thank both of y'all.
That's up for debate with me.
for being raw. The one thing about my podcast and the one thing about me doing this Perfectly Imperfect is it's real. It's raw. It's true life. It's
relatable.
It's relatable. And I hope maybe. If one person can take anything away from this, it's don't give up and you know, keep praying and all good things will happen. And so
things will change.
So with that, Bailey, Scott, I love you both. Thank you. And thanks, guys. And until next time.
Peace.